Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha Kunya Bihari Radha Kunya Bihari Radha Jaya Radha Kanaya Lala Radha Kanaya Lala Radha So, Hare Krishna, I want to welcome you on your third day of the Japa retreat and one day before your 64 rounds day. We have been going I would say, I'm very satisfied with the way you are developing. You might ask yourself, how can you tell that we are developing? You are not in our thoughts and you're not in our situation. So how can you judge if it's going good or bad? See, you can see, you can apply a very simple thermometer when you want to find out the degree of bhakti in the heart of devotees. The thermometer which you have to put is very simple in the way they chant during kirtan. For instance, when you see during kirtan that devotees are not able to focus themselves, and they are, you could see it by the eyes, they go like this, they are not there. And you can also see the sound which comes from their throat is not really connected to their hearts. You can hear that if someone speaks from the heart, or if someone talks or sings in an absent-minded and thoughtless way. So really, when I want to make it very simple, you can see if devotees are connected with Krishna and with their own hearts, if they really mean what they do, if they mean when they chant, if they mean when they listen, if they really want to do that, you can easily find out. Banu Nandini told me, I believe yesterday or the day before yesterday, that she has a little problem. Usually the problem of those who manage, like Govinda Nandan and Banu Nandini, is that they have to run after devotees to convince them, could you please do some service? I mean, we really need this to be done. But this, in this retreat, it's the opposite way. The devotees come to Banu Nandini and Govinda Nandan and say, do you have some service for me? I want to do some service. I feel it's necessary for me to do some service. And because so many say this, there's the services are already distributed. Now, this doesn't mean don't come to Govinda Nandan or Banu Nandini any longer. Please continue to come. But that is what she said to me yesterday or before yesterday. These are all indications that you begin to take your retreat very serious, and you understand, well, this is about my relationship to Krishna. It's important to me to participate fully. So we are going very well. Even the sky has cried the whole night tears of separation. I mean, it would be nice if some Krishna sun is also visible. But it will come. I'm hearing tomorrow for sure, isn't it? That's what they Velko, you have. How did you do? Do you spit on your finger and then hold it in the sky? You watched the sea guides? No.
I watched the weather forecast.
What weather report? Okay, tomorrow you will have your Krishna sun in the heart. It's very symbolic, because yesterday and today we cry some tears of separation, Vipralamba Baba, and tomorrow Krishna sun will come. Good then. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I remember it was one morning in Paris. Prabhupada had just finished his morning lecture. And then he said something which was surprising, because usually he would be all day in his room receiving devotees, preaching to devotees, writing his letters to keep his movement going, receiving many dignitaries from the places where he arrived, like the mayor and all kinds of important people, and talking to them about Krishna consciousness. But this morning, after the morning lecture, Prabhupada said, "We shall meet again at 11 o'clock. I was very surprised. Now the morning lecture is over, and again at 11 o'clock Prabhupada wants to see us. Where? Well, we will be in the library," said Prabhupada. There was no real library, but a few books were there, so that was our library. And Prabhupada came, we came a little earlier, 10 before 11, because we knew Prabhupada was very punctual, so Prabhupada arrived at 11 o'clock. Then he sat down and we all looked at him. What would he tell us? Was something special there? And then Prabhupada said, "Today I will teach you a song." Oh, good. So then one devotee handed song sheets around, and it was the song to the six Goswamis. And in this song, we hear our models, our examples, those who lead us on our way, and how they did their bhajan. There's one line, or one verse, I should say, which describes in which mood Chaitanya Bhakti should be executed. I will sing this song to you, this verse, because I still remember it was so nice. When Prabhupada came to this verse, something in his mood changed entirely. He fell into a state of divine ecstasy, where he was really living the song. He was not singing the song. He was, as Mahojwala has given us a nice song, has given a nice song to me, he was feeling the song. No, he was really feeling the song. And here is it. Hey Radhe, if you can sing along, it is good. Hey Radhe, Vraja Devike Chalalite. Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. Shri Govardhana Kalpa Parapatale. Kalindi Vane Kuta. Goshanta viti sarvato brajapure keder mahavivalo vande rupa sanatano ragujago shri jiva gopalago vande rupa sanatano ragujago Sirivagopalago. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Now, let's describe what are these Goswamis doing. They were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, "Queen of Vrindavan!"
Queen of Vrindavan.
Oh, the Goswamis were a little louder. "Queen of Vrindavan!
Queen of Vrindavan!
Radharani!
Radharani!
O Lalita!
O Lalita!
O Krishna!
O Krishna!
Son of Maharaj Nanda,
son of Maharaj Nanda,
where are you all now?
Where are you all now?"
Wonderful. You are like the Goswamis, really. Very advanced Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis today. So they would go around Vrindavan and they would ask this question, "Where are you all? Are you just now on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees, on the bank of the river Jamuna, where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada then said, he explained each verse to us and said, they were simply feeling separation. They lived in Vrindavan, but they never said, last night I saw Krishna dancing. No, they said, Krishna and the gopis, where are you all? Where are you? Are you near Govardhan Hill or near the bank of the river Jamuna? Where are you? This is called bhajan, devotion in separation. We should increase our aspiration in this way more and more. So here you hear another word for vipralamba or seva, the mood of separation. You hear the word aspiration. We should increase our aspiration more and more. Aspiration is something like a desire. Nowadays in ISKCON they say, I aspire for you. This is what the young devotees who look for a guru say to their prospective new guru. I aspire for you. It's an interesting usage of a word. It's a new usage of the word. But aspiration means I hanker, I desire, I long for you. We should increase our aspiration in this way more and more. How do we say aspiration? Aspirationski? Or sorry? Tejnes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, aspiratia, yes. Aspiration, sagt man, aber we should increase our aspiration. Also ganz einfach, unsere Wünsche. Nicht? Wir sollten unsere Wünsche auf diese Weise. That is required, es ist notwendig. That asha, that hope, here are better words, this hope, that expectation, also die Hoffnung und die Erwartung, könntest du vielleicht besser sagen. This asha will lead us to the topmost platform of devotion. Now there is a Sanskrit word which is very interesting. It is ashabandha. Ashabandha means a hope, but bandha means bound. See, you take, what it virtually means is, you take your hope, let's say this is the hope, and then you connect it with an object, you bind it, you know, and then it cannot go any longer from that. Even if I want to put it somewhere, it's bound to this, it's ashabandha. So in the same way, place your hope in Krishna, that one day I will see you, Krishna, one day I will be with you, and bind it to Krishna. Ranga Devi, you have to bind it. Huh? Now we have bound our hope to material things. So tomorrow it will be better. Tomorrow, not now. Tomorrow, future. I live in the future. Or we bind our hope that, okay, I know. Once I have married the right person, I will be totally blissful. We ignore the faces of the already married people who don't show the supreme signs of permanent, constant bliss. And we think like this. Our hope is bound to a tomorrow which will never come. Tomorrow I will be rich. Tomorrow the weather will be good. I have to be careful. Tomorrow. We should bind our hope to the place where it will never be disappointed, to Krishna. Because as we have heard yesterday, if you can think of Krishna, then Krishna, who is non-material, who is identical, in other words, with his the remembrance of him, or the meditation, will be with you in your heart. The only place where your bonding of hope, how you bind your hope, will be fulfilled is at Krishna's lotus feet. Never it will be fulfilled in the tomorrow. Never bind your hope into that on tomorrow, on a hope. Bind your hope on the lotus feet of Krishna. Ashabandha, that's a Sanskrit word. So nice to the Sanskrit words. I'm unfortunately not very knowledgeable about Sanskrit, so I don't know so many examples, but here it's very easy. It's so telling. So how to bind your hope, your aspiration, and in this way experience separation and meeting at the same place, will be a little bit more the subject of today. We will go a little bit deeper in the subject which we started yesterday. Don't worry, I will make it a really, I have really meditated about this. It will be understandable. I will not talk about things which we cannot understand because it's just outside of our contextual framework. No. Prabhupada said on a morning walk once, Prabhupada had this way, he would walk with us. And many times, he would be silent. But sometimes he would walk and then he would stop and tell us about what he was thinking at the moment. And in Honolulu, do I say it rightly? Honolulu, that's on the Hawaii island. Huh? Like here we are on the Ish Island, that is the Hawaii Island. So Prabhupada would walk, we would all walk, all his disciples would walk behind him, and then Prabhupada all of a sudden would dig his cane into the sand and stop. And everyone would stop. Then Prabhupada would say what he was thinking. Here is what he thought at that moment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a sannyasi. He has no necessity. Why is he crying for Govinda? He has given up the whole world. He became a sannyasi. But why now is he crying for Govinda? Prabhupada had asked a question. He looked at us and usually why is he crying for Govinda? We had to just wake up. We were just struggling to walk behind him, and we almost walked into him. And now we were really concerned. And hopefully my dhoti is dry when I come back, And we were thinking like ordinary thoughts. And the Prabhupada was saying, "Why is he crying for Govinda?" No idea, Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada would say, "That is the real necessity. Govinda vida hename. The Govinda necessity. The necessity is Govinda, and he is not alone. There is again our life. There is again Vrindavan. Again the gopis. Again dancing. Again eating. Again everything." So in this word to word, again everything is there. Dhammagop. Again. It comes again. Again means it was there already. But now it comes again. Again breakfast will come. So This is where you must bind your hope. That is the real necessity. Now, how you can increase your expectation, that once our Devashi Narada has made some very nice photos on his computer. I'm sorry, I could have thought of showing this to you. You have them, but it will take millions of lifetimes before you find it, no? There is a verse in the Bhagavatam. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur says a devotee should meditate about this verse if he wants to chant. It's a verse which describes to us increasing intensities of feeling for Krishna. The verse is Ajata Pakshaiva Matarankaga Stanyam Yatavatsatarakshut Arta Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishana Manoravindakshati Dikshatetvam. It's in the 6th canto, chapter 11, text number 26. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds, are you listening, Mahajwala? I think you please listen. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them. I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, I always yearn means to long, zenen, for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. And as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Okay, let us see. So, this is a calf who wants to go to his mother. Can you see that? The mouth? Oh, yeah. It's actually not. It's the picture is, of course, nice. Calves are always nice. But it should be a calf which really goes like. And almost rips his neck away because he wants to go. So this is how a devotee wants to go to Krishna, because he knows there is again life, again eating, again dancing, again everything. Or here's an example of the wife. You know, her husband is somewhere in America. And they have a good relationship. She's thinking, when is he coming? I've prepared all his clothes, all his food. He likes sweets. I've made sweets for him. Everything is there. And I've even my Arctic plate to greet him. and this is how a devotee waits for Krishna. Now you all laugh because we know these type of intense longing are idealistic conceptions, which are unfortunately not always there. We know 50% of marriages divorce nowadays. I heard that this is an American figure. I don't know if it's the same here. So we are naturally suspicious. Is it really so idealistic, you know? But in the old times it was. You know, this girl in the old times was married to her husband when she was maybe 14 years old or 13 years old, and the husband is a great devotee of Krishna who always took care of her, who gave her children when she wanted to have children, who preached to her when she was miserable because she was disappointed with life. You know, her husband took and still takes care of her, but now he's so long absent. Where is he? First she could tolerate it, but then she became used to the pain of his absence, but then she noted, I really can't do without him. I'm so much, I've given my heart to him, and he has given his heart to me. I really need his presence now. Now she just waits. She cannot do much more. She cannot cook for herself. She just waits. When is he coming? That's the only thing which makes sense in her life at the moment. So this is the example how a devotee thinks of Krishna. First he felt, well, I need to be Krishna conscious, this is a nice thing. But then when he matures in Krishna consciousness, he has heard about Krishna and how loving Krishna is, how nice Krishna is. And he is very, very affected by his remembrance of Krishna. He sees, like we yesterday heard, how Krishna was sitting alone on the bank of the Yamuna and just thinking of Radharani. And when Lalita said, do you know that what Radha feels for you? Krishna said, and do you know what I feel for Radha? You know, we hear about this love, and we naturally feel, oh, Krishna loves me also. Yes, I want to also love Krishna. He's so wonderful. Then we feel at one stage, we feel, oh, I should be connected with Krishna. I should be his servant. I'm waiting for him. I'm patient, but I want to write now a poem. I'm just thinking about it the last few days. How much longer should I wait? Will be the poem. It will be like this. So then the devotee feels like this. Oh, Krishna. Now I'm really getting a little bit in trouble. You are the water which makes me alive. You are the breath which carries me. You are my daily food. You are my fulfillment. And how much longer will you let me wait for you? Please, no, I'm getting to my limits. So this is how a devotee feels when he chants. These are good feelings. They are aspirations. They are hopes. This is a little bit what this verse says. If you want to read the verse, it's in a very beautiful section of the Bhagavatam, which you might like to read, to get the content straight. 6th canto, 11th chapter, text number 26. Sorry, 6, 11, 26. 26. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed in his own words this type of longing for Krishna. And it's a very, very nice, and many of you know it. So please chant it along with me. It's the 5th shloka of the Shikshastakam. Ayi nanda tanu yakin karam patitang mam vishame bhavam budo kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. And here's a translation which I once heard, which is just telling the thing so nicely. O son of Nanda, you don't need to write it down, it's in the Nam Rahasya. Please listen. O son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love. So nice. King of the country of love. I appeal and beg for your affection. Do you know that I'm your servant? I feel deep within myself that I have some connection to you. I don't remember this connection all the time, but when I go deep, I just know we have something to do with each other. I'm yours and you are mine. I'm subordinate to you, but somehow I'm now in these adverse circumstances. Adverse means bad circumstances, unfavorable. Krishna, there are so many enemies within me who try to take me away from you. My mind goes here and there, doesn't remember you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name, although I want so much. That's why I'm here. At the same time, I feel when I go to the deepest place in my heart, when I wake up in the night and everything is gone around me, and I go deep to my heart, then I feel that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. I know at that time my heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I now appeal to you. I'm under unfavorable circumstances. I'm not in my place of strength, where I'm strong. If I'm very honest with you, I begin to understand I'm leading a false life. I'm suffering. I begin to understand it. Krishna, without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present prison condition. You must invest your mercy in me. Without this, I won't be able to go in the right way. Now, how do you think will Krishna respond if someone prays to him like this? That's a very deep point.
Favorably.
You are right. In his heart, he will respond favorably. But he will not show himself. He will not answer. He will sometimes not give a sign to you even. And this confuses devotees in this world. But I prayed to him, nishta, nothing came back. What is going on here? Something very deep is going on, Madhurya Leela. Try to understand. It's so deep that I don't want to explain it in my words. I will take the words of Krishna now, which comes through my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna says, sometimes, Krishna is always so special. He says sometimes, but it's all the time. Sometimes I do not reciprocate the feelings of my devotees properly. Why not? I wish to increase their love for me more and more. If I can very easily be approached by them, they might think, oh, Krishna is so easily available. Nothing special. Nishta speciali. Nothing special. Krishna is so easy available. He's cheap. So sometimes, sometimes, this is the most amazing word here. So sometimes I do not respond. Krishna, in other words, helps us to melt the ice in our heart. I very much liked when Sasha taught us this ice melting yoga exercise where we just melt like a piece of ice in on the beach of Rijeka or Opatia when there is sun. Krishna melts that strange covering around our heart which sometimes does not allow us to go to Krishna. He wants to see us. No, he wants to help us to cry for him. He wants to help us that we come to this position. Because this is such a secret in bhakti, and I'm such a beginner in bhakti, I want to now quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he, as interprets Krishna's reaction that that Krishna keeps himself in a distance. Krishna says, for those surrendered souls who worship me through Naam Kirtan. Do you know what Naam Kirtan is? Singing the holy names? For those who do this, Krishna has you in mind. Who worship me through Naam Kirtan and other means is these processes of devotional service, altogether there are nine. For those I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. Oh, you who cannot understand my real intention. This is how Krishna talks to us. You who cannot understand my real intention. You know, don't we do this sometimes when we are with a person who means something to us? We know the person has misunderstood us. We say, oh, you who cannot understand my real intention. Intention means what I plan to do. What is my intention? Oh, you who cannot understand my real intention. Not seeing me, those surrendered souls, listen to this, it's so good, develop deep humility, feeling, alas, alas, oh, vaya, everything I have done has been useless. Because I'm an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor toward me. Let me be damned. You know, now please don't think in the New Age philosophy of Donald Welch, or no, what is his name? Neil Donald also, Conversations with God. That this is a bad feeling to feel, oh, I'm let me be damned. My dear devotees, this is an intense feeling of separation from Krishna. Where a devotee wants to detach himself from his material life. This is not good. I don't want this any longer because it separates me from Krishna. It's an expression of intense spiritual realization. Let this go. I don't want it. By constantly thinking in this humble way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion, full of power and brilliance. This is, let me make it simple. This is really what Krishna does to his devotees. He sometimes, let us remain in Krishna's words, remains a little in the distance. He lets them wait. He doesn't provide the answer immediately. So that the devotee's need will grow. That this devotee's, you know, necessity will grow. Or to put it in a picture, the fire, the necessary devotional fire will grow, which will burn away those things which still bind the devotee to this hopeless material world. There are a lot of things which still bind us. I think we are sometimes embarrassed to even talk about this, isn't it? You know, let us talk about them. Sexual attraction is a big one. Desire for my own recognition that I'm always in the center of everything and everyone tells me how nice I'm functioning and how nice I'm eating my prasadam and everything, you know. This desire for recognition, or desire for my own comfort, you know, that's this. What's in for me? This. You know, what's in for me? This selfishness. You know, these are heavy things, my dear devotees, isn't it? Or do I talk about things which only are in my heart, and which you don't know, you know? There they are, heavy enemies on the spiritual path. Sridhar, they are quite intense, isn't it? So how will you get free from these? What weapon do you need? You need some fire. Devotional fire you need in your heart. When that devotional fire comes, it just burns it away. It gives a little smell, and the smell is not even so bad as you expected. When your attachments burn, it smells nice. But if they are alive and not burn, everyone can smell it around you. We somehow like it. I don't know, there are some people, you know, I will tell you something from Germany now. They dislike the wind which comes out of everyone else, but their own wind, when some wind is coming, they produce some wind. They feel this is a very good vegetarian wind. You know, it is has an interesting combination of different flavors, you know. There are some people like this, I heard, in Germany. It's not so bad, but if someone else is producing the wind, I know it even in French, odor terrible, you know. Yes, so when your attachments burn, it smells all right, you know, you feel happy, but when they are there, don't think this is nice. Everyone else notices it smells quite bad, you know, only you don't notice your own wind. Hare Krishna. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Also, I want to officially apologize at the lotus feet of my international tape hearing audience, but you will not understand it if it's not put so clearly before you, because our attachments, we are just treasuring so much. So, Krishna, you know, after he had disappeared from the gopis, and the gopis were searching for him everywhere, the gopis went finally into the darkest forests of Vrindavan, where the trees shaded the rays of the moon and the gopis could not, the gopis were going in darkness, and then they thought, let's stop our search here. Because Krishna doesn't want to be seen by us at the moment. He has something in his mind. And if we go deep into the forest looking for him, we just drive him deeper into the forest, and then what will happen with his lotus feet? No one can see anything here. Krishna cannot see anything. So they went back to the river of the Jamuna, and they started to sing kirtan. They were sitting there, sitting kirtan, and then Krishna couldn't keep himself any longer separated from them. When they were sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, when they gave up the chase, because really they didn't want to inconvenience Krishna, that was the reason. This is how the gopis think. They just love Krishna so much, they don't want to give even the slightest inconvenience to him. So they thought, we are just driving him into the forest. How cruel we are when we search for him. So they sat and they chanted his name, and then Krishna just couldn't keep himself any longer distance. He just jumped out of the forest, and he had a little smile like this. He felt a little, maybe I have done it too far. I mean, maybe I've created pain to the gopis. And Krishna had the garland on. Now, Krishna took his scarf from his chest. He usually has a scarf on his chest. But now he took it away to display the garland which the gopis had made for him. To show, he says, here, I'm having your garland. I'm valuing you very much. Look at this. You know, he wanted to convince them. I'm not so bad, you know. And then Krishna, then they had a serious talk. The gopi said, first you call us, then you disappear. Now tell us what kind of lover you are. And then they had a multiple choice. You know, are you multiple choice question. They offered Krishna three alternatives. Either you are a merchant lover, an ungrateful lover, or a lover who responds in kind. I won't go into this detail here. Krishna said, I'm none of these three. I must explain to you why I do this. I disappeared from you to increase your love. And then he says, do not think that I was away from you. All that time I was near to you. I was simply seeing and looking how much you were anxious for me in my absence. So my dear devotees, this is what Krishna has in mind for you also. He wants to simply see how anxious you are in his absence for him. And when you can associate with him through these feelings of separation, Krishna is very quickly present in your holy name. I have seen some of you chanting, and some of you came by Krishna's mercy into this inner space where you really felt, you were looking at the deities and you were connecting with Krishna through deep feelings of aspiration, of hope, of feeling connected. Vipralamba. Vipralamba means vipra, what is in the distance, and alamba, to obtain. This is the art of doing bhajan. So I want to end this class now by showing you something. Let me just ask someone of you, I forgot my wristwatch, what's the time now? What? Oh, God! We have all the time. I thought we are somewhere at 11 o'clock. No, we have 20 more minutes. Wonderful. Sorry. I want to now give you an example of what this practically means. Prabhupada says, to acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of who? Lord Chaitanya, you know everything. And his direct disciplic succession of the six Goswamis, yes. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. If we can associate like this, Krishna's transcendental form, his qualities, pastimes, and entourage means what was around him, are all identical with him. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna and feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest perfectional level, to the level of the gopis. This is our school. So you all know, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he was in a different state than before. Before he came to Gaya, he was playing the pastimes of an undefeatable, quarrelsome scholar. After he returned, there was a change in him. Gadadhar Pandit says, I saw something on the road from Gaya. I saw the most extraordinary person on that road. His form was very beautiful. But he roared like a thundercloud, Krishna! His eyes rained a constant shower of tears so that the road became wet. I saw this person. His voice, choked up in the ecstasy of love of God. And what did he do? He didn't walk. He sometimes rolled on the street. I saw the most extraordinary person. Whom he saw was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received his Diksha Mantra. Do you know what the Diksha Mantra does to you? Eventually means gradually after some time. I'm seeing Dharmagup and he looks at me. He just received the Diksha Mantra in Zagreb, no? Just a 1 year, 1.5 years ago. So it may not yet have happened to you, Dharmagup, but it will happen. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that one aspect of chanting the Gopal mantra is that it makes the pure soul run after the all-attractive Krishna. Krishna, where are you? You run after him, the Lord of Gokul and the divine milkmaids. This will happen to all of you. I mean, therefore, only if you want this, then ask for Diksha. It will happen to you that if you chant all the time this powerful Gopal mantra, it's the best of mantras. If it happens to you, I can tell you one Gopal mantra. I can tell you, but I'm not telling you the one which you get at the Diksha. Gam Gopi Jana Valabha Chadano Chadanam Prapad Yay! That's one of these powerful Gopal mantras. So if you get this, you will feel, there is Krishna. I feel really, I need Krishna. And you run. So Mahaprabhu, after his initiation, wanted to run to Vrindavan. He started in the night running. Like I saw Anadi Krishna, I think the day before yesterday, he is our very sportivo. Is he there, Anadi Krishna? Yes, you were running very sportivo on the bank. You were running in the direction of Prasadam, I saw. So when you chant this Diksha mantra, you run in the direction of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. So then... As Mahaprabhu sometimes said, "Oh friend, where shall I go? What shall I do to attain Lord Hari? Who will show him to me? Please tell me." So what happened? Why did he become like this? He was a scholar before Sridhar. He was knowing all the Sanskrit this and Sanskrit that and this rule. What had happened, I will show you. We have to maybe put the light out, this light out. Someone knows. I know it's in the back. Thank you, Satya Baba. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been on the road to Gaya, and he came to one place at the Ganga. This place, he came in the night. It was very beautiful, like this, very mystical. He arrived there and he looked to the other side and he saw these rocks. Then he looked some more. Oops. He was not there. He saw this beautiful coast, which is very untypical for anything I have seen up to now in the Ganga, except for the Himalayan mountains. And he just jumped, no one was awake still, he jumped in the river Ganga and he swam across the Ganga. He went up and there under a tree he saw Krishna like this. Krishna held the flute to his lips. He was dressed with ornaments, the crown was there. Krishna smiled at him. He became very desirous. He ran after him. And he came to this particular tree. This is still there. This is like a banyan tree. And Krishna was behind this tree now. You know, it's a big tree, you can see. It's like five men need to be there to embrace the tree. So Mahaprabhu ran behind the tree. And again he saw Krishna. But Krishna now was moving back into the forest. Here's the tree for you. Under this tree, these great yogis whom you see there. This is Nrisimha Baba on the left. And this is Garha Baba. Garha Baba means the simple Baba, the simple father. He lived only under the tree. Because under this tree, Mahaprabhu saw Krishna. It's the best place to sit, under this tree. Maybe one day Krishna will come also. It's his tree. So yes, from that time, the devotees worship there, these lotus feet of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recently. These are the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu told this, what happened to him, to the devotees in Navadvip when he returned. It's very interesting. Then he asked all the devotees, "Where is Krishna?" And the devotees couldn't give him an answer. They looked at him. Good question. And everyone felt the power of Vipralamba Seva. This question is all you need to know for your bhajan. Where is Krishna? This is the question which is the basis of the chanting and the basis of your bhajan. Where is Krishna, the treasure of my life? Where is the lotus-eyed one? Alas! Where is the divine ocean of all transcendental qualities? Where is the beautiful blackish youth dressed in yellow garments? Well, you can see our Dhiramati. If you would not mind, Dhiramati, to just rise for one moment. It is, see the beautiful yellow, this is like Krishna's yellow. I'm sorry, Dhiramati, it must be embarrassing. It's not about you, it's about Krishna. There's the blackish youth dressed in yellow garments. There's the hero of the Rasa dance, Krishna, with the milkmaids. Where shall I go? Where can I find you? Please tell me. I shall go there. So this is the proper inner space we want to create. A feeling of an absence, external absence, but internal presence. This is what you need to do. Feeling of external absence and internal presence. If you can be in this space, you will be pure devotees very quick. Or if you can aspire to go into this space, or even look in the direction of this space, your chanting will be real. Your chanting will have life. Your chanting will immediately attract Krishna. Yes, he will be attracted. He will be nearby, as he said, I was not absent from you, my dear devotees. I was nearby and I was just looking at you, seeing how your feelings for me would be in my absence. My dear devotees, we are people of this world. I want to just ask you a question. When are you convinced that someone is your friend? Are you convinced that someone is your friend when he talks good about you in your presence? Or are you convinced that he is your real friend if he talks good in your absence? Yeah, a second one. We feel like that. I sometimes hear how some disciples in my absence always complain about me. I hear this, and then I think, but why don't they say something in my presence? Then we can talk about it. But then they come with presence when they are seeing me, and I'm thinking, But I hear also how devotees talk good about me in my absence. I think, wow, they really mean it. Imagine you would get a phone call. Just imagine this, Velko, that in split, someone said, Vikrama said, I have to urgently speak to you, Velko. You think, urgently, if something is urgent, it might be problematic. Maybe I have to stop the japa retreat and just go there. Yeah, and I met so-and-so and he talked about you. Oh. What did he say? Did he say something? No, Velko. He said, you are the best person. He said, you are very serious, very natural, very the ideal husband for your good wife. You are a good cook even, and your mountain climbing is superb. and you would really feel, my God, he's talking good about me. You will read, this is my friend. I mean, I will bring him a stone from the island of Ys, as you know, as my present. You know, you would, isn't it? You would feel like that. This is a real friend, my God. I didn't know that. The Krishna also wants to see if you mean it. How do you behave in his absence? It's such a simple point, isn't it? If you think about it, we all feel like this. We feel like this. I sometimes can understand this. We have a little reflection of Krishna's psychology also. Little. So he watches you, and this can give you great hope when you do your Naam Bhajan. He watches you. The Krishna is close by. I want to now really end here. Maybe one more asana. One last asana. One last point. It is like Mahaprabhu once explained his mood of separation, what goes on. And after I read this, I knew how to do it, how to come into this mood practically. This is something which is very sacred. My dear devotees, here you will hear how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about that which is most private to him. And we are so fortunate that it is recorded. Mahaprabhu talks about his mind like we have an experience. In our mind we can go somewhere. Have you made this experience? You could go now to the Prasadam place, as an example, which is very much relevant, because this is soon the time, and we also feel it already in our stomach. You could go there, you know, before the table, sit down, your plate. You can, in your mind, envision what is on your plate. And in your mind, you could actually be there. People have, there is an experiment that people gave, gave other people a placebo. The doctors gave 500 terminally ill cancer patients a placebo and said, this medicine is so good. It has cured already every cancer patient who took it. It's the newest on the market. There's an extensive body of research on this. And then they gave them some sugar with a drop of water on it. Here, this is for you. Now the patients took it. And I can't believe it. 476 of these 500 terminally ill cancer patients were able to form antibodies to arrest the growth of the cancer, and the cancer disappeared on a period of 1 year. Because they knew, I'm taking this medicine. It worked everywhere. There's some hope for me. It will work with me also. Then they took the same placebo and gave it to another group of people, 500 cancer patients. And they said, well, you know, here's a medicine, really nobody knows what it does, if it heals. But because we have no other choice, all the medicines are exhausted, we might as well try this one. And nothing happened. The progression of the disease went in the same way. This is an experiment I read in on my research for the Vedic Way. I'm now in doing Vedic psychology, and I'm working on, you know, on the power of prayers and chanting regular mantras and hymns and what it does to us. It's amazing. I was astonished because, you know, when we said in the old times, when we said, oh, that's a placebo, we said, this doesn't work. Nowadays, the research said, this is a placebo. It's good, you know. It has changed totally because of these mind-blowing research work which was done on it. It has obviously nothing to do with the medicine, with the sugar and the drop. It has to do with the mind. So your mind, when you chant, should not be passive, not be absent-minded. You should bring this mood in your mind, Dira Mati, that Krishna, I'm chanting your holy name, I'm yours, I'm desiring you so much, I wish to come. And you will see tremendous changes in your chanting. You won't believe, you will actually practice pure devotional service, although maybe you have the feeling, I have this feeling about me, I'm really not pure. But just by thinking like this, and here Mahaprabhu tells us how he does it. He compares his mind with a yogi who walks. In India you have these yogis who walk. They don't stay longer than 3 days at a place. And Mahaprabhu now says what the yogi of his mind, it walks. The yogi is dressed with a blanket. You see this in India also. Sridhar knows the blanket. The blanket of which is around the mind of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is intense desire. He's dressed in this. So the mind is dressed like this. And this mind speaks, the yogi of the mind speaks, Alas Krishna, O Krishna, where are you? The yogi has a turban. The mind has another dress. It's greed. Oh, I must get. The yogi studies, the mind studies. What does the mind study? Poetry and description of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. So he paints this analogy. Now the yogi of my mind has left the house of my body. The mind has gone somewhere else. I'm not here. The mind has gone to Vrindavan, and he has not gone alone. He has taken the 10 disciples. 10 disciples are around the mind. These are the 10 senses. And he has left the home of my body and the great treasure of material enjoyment. The mind has gone from this. And then he goes to begging. Where does he go begging? To the devotees he goes. My dear devotees, I have come to your house. Please give me what you have left over for me, some leftovers, some remnants. All day you feast on Krishna Katha and the holy names. Give me a little bit, my dear devotees, some information of Krishna and the holy names. This is what I'm begging from you. And then finally the yogi sits down in a mystic trance in the garden where Krishna enjoys pastimes. There he sits in the garden of Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is the picture. If you want to read about this poesy, it's so poetic and it makes you cry. You can go to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 14th chapter, Antya Lila, it means the last of the three Lilas, Antya Lila, 14th chapter, text 45, and then on. So, please, my dear devotees, although we can't, you know, be like Mahaprabhu and go to the garden of Krishna and sit there and just wait until we see the Lord, what we can do in our mind is we can go towards Krishna with our mind and feel that we need Krishna. And we can make connection with Krishna in a meditative way. Maybe you want to do what I do. I chant always this fifth verse of the Shikshastakam, where Mahaprabhu says, I have fallen into this world, you know, something which is very real for us. I've fallen into the ocean of this world, and now I just beg to you, please lift me up to the safe shelter of your lotus feet. That's a meditation from Shikshastakam, which you can chant and be in that meditation. Now, to help us to come more into this inner space, this morning session will be very important for you. Yesterday we started to go into being present in the present. Presence. No. Can someone say it in English? To being present in the presence. To be same word, acha. To be present in the present. Correct? Our English team has confirmed, so we are on the right page, on the right spot, to be present in the present. We have learned a little bit about it. There were some exercises. Today we will really go very deep into this. Today you will not believe what you will do and experience. In the afternoon we will take it a little bit more easy. We will relax a little. Relax means it will be a little bit more simple, but this morning session I'm already warning you, it's a little, not intense, it's a little practical. It's a little practical. All right, so we have come to an end here. Let me see if there are some questions amongst you. Be present. Kripa Pala, and Govinda Nandan was there, and yes. You found the same verse. In the Sharanagati. Yes, if you, that is a wonderful hint which Kripa Pala Prabhu gives us. He says, you recommended the fifth shloka of the Shikshastakam to, you know, to help us enter into the right understanding. But I've found the same help in the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You are very, very true. They are written for this, to bring us into the mood. This one prayer goes, Anadya Karame Phale, which is really a song which Bhaktivinoda Thakur made from this fifth verse. It was one of Prabhupada's favorite songs. Anadir Kamala Phale, since Anadi immemorial time, I have fallen into this ocean of birth. There are sharks eating me. You know, it's a little bit, he stretches this out. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, especially the Sharanagati prayers, but also Gita Mala, there's another Gita. What? Gitavali, yes, and Gita Mala. And also, with K, why do I, oh Krishna. Someone can help me, please? Kalyana Kalpataru, my songbook librarian. So these four prayers, let us say again. Sharanagati, Gita Mala, Gitavali, and Kalyana Kalpataru. These four are very good to bring these moods. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said we should daily read this. I'm always reading from time to time one prayer, then I go to the next prayer. They are magical because they carry these feelings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in them. And it infects you. Feelings can infect. No? If someone is so depressive and we are next to him, he sucks our energy out and we are also depressed. Have you met such persons? They're very powerful. So this feelings of others can have a good influence on us. Also, the book of Prarthana, Narottam Das Thakur Prarthana, is really good, and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. They all express these words of feelings. Why do you think are they there? They are there so that we get it. And you will be interested. There was a practice in times, which on the last Govardhan retreat, this practice was introduced. Devotees would pray and then they would offer their obeisances. You know, if you do that, wow, that's powerful. You remember posture, how important it is? I mean, if you really want to go deep, just pray this and then bang, offer your obeisances. And then you really... then it really gets into your heart. It's really like turbo. This is, you know, we were in Govardhan. My dear devotees, you can't believe how powerful this process is. We were at Govardhan last year. And we read this Krishna Lila Stava. These are prayers to Krishna's pastimes. And after you have chanted five prayers or so, it's indicated, it's very simple to follow, you're supposed to offer your obeisances. So we did that at Govardhan. We just thought, we do this. We read the prayer, then we stopped for a while, meditated about the prayer so that they were present in the heart, and then full obeisances. Even Matajis, when they wanted, could do the full obeisances. Vrindavan. Bang. Now, amongst all these who were there, there was a Mayavadi. Dressed in orange, 63 years old. Since 35 years, Mayavadi. You know, organizer of the Himalayan Institute, you know, by Swami Ram. Very good Swami, very powerful Swami. This Swami is so powerful, he can leave his body and enter other bodies. This Swami went to what was it? America and walked right into a library and said, into a laboratory and said to the scientist, I will stop my breathing and my brain waves for half an hour, measure me. And then I will come back to life and I will show you the power of yoga. Okay, where's your table? Then he lay down at the table. People said, well, maybe we can... Well, this is a good experiment. I mean, it's his risk. And then they put him... the tubes. And then he was gone. Gone. And then after half an hour... Hello! He was back. And showed the powers of yoga. He, Swami Ram, made yoga famous in America by these far-out experiments. He got the scientists on his side, and then they published very good books like the Yoga Anatomy, very good standard book for yogis, how they, muscles and the spine and how, what to do, what not to do, and so on. Yes, so she was the organizer of this mission, she also, the first day, she just meditated in the class like a piece of ice. She looked so like face of granite. Well, Mataji Yogini, old Mataji Yogini, yes, possible. So then she came to the next class and she meditated, but sometimes looked. The influence of Raj worked already. And then third class, she came also, and she said, it's so sweet here. Fourth class, she paid her obeisances. And sixth class, at the end, she came and said, I'm chanting 16 rounds now. Yeah, it's so powerful. It really, when you bow down in the dust of Vrindavan. What I have in Goloka Dhamma, I have such a bowl of dust, and every morning when I was there, I would bow down in the dust of Vrindavan every morning. Pay my obeisances. Possible. Buddhi kreativni. Be creative. It's your spiritual life. This works really very, very good. Krishna Lila Stava. You can read or you can hear the tapes or the MP3 recordings, and you can enjoy. So, yes, Govinda Nandan.
And then I would like to introduce one other thing. The words are very beautiful. The special is alert when how we deal with the devotees when he is like not very present. And I think this memory brings raises challenge for me and I think sometimes for some others. How can we behave when Krishna is not present?
Towards his devotees.
Yeah, towards his devotees. And if you can give us some more insight how to behave properly, because many things are in that. Somehow I feel
I will answer this question briefly. How to behave towards Krishna's devotees? I would recommend there are two ways you can see a devotee. One is what he presently is and what are his opportunities. And I believe we should stop dealing with someone according to what he is. We should deal with someone according to what his ideal is, what is his goal, and help him reach the goal. When you deal with someone according to what he is, he will never, he will not develop so. But if you deal with him and say, you can do this, you can follow your ideal, you will be pure, it will be all right. If you deal with someone like this, he will develop this. You are the father of Andal, the dedicated, committed father of Andal. You know, you should talk to your child sometimes, in not like like you talk to a child, you know. You know, I mean, no one talks like this. This is a little bit, that's wrong education. You know, but you should talk like a sensible person, like Andal. This is now this is an insect, you know. There's a soul inside. Be careful. Don't squeeze it. Don't kill it. It's a soul like you and me and others. If you do this, the child will very quickly get the point. It's amazing. But if you always talk as if the child is, I mean, you don't do this, but if you talk as if he's mentally retarded, you know, he can't understand, and talk only about baby's things, you know, then the child will not develop it. I know this from little Radhika. Little Radhika is a little child, and she likes insects and frogs very much. Just always with the insects and frogs. And she's very careful with these animals. And when she's in the school and someone wants to give her cake with an egg, she said, no. I this is a soul. You know, you're not right. It's not right. She has no desire. She asked in the school, is this free from eggs? Is this... No living being. She understands somehow. They understand much more than we think. So you have to talk with the people also like this. They understand much more than we think. So I'm feeling a little bit I should end here. Thank you all very much for your giving attention to this subject matter. I will see you at 11:30 here. Have a nice breakfast, prasadam. Also, now you can talk to your friends. We wanted to not talk in the morning before 7 o'clock. Now is time to talk everything and so on. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.